This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area, Jim Kawakami.
Kawakami, who has covered the NBA for over two decades.
It's time now for the TK Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here, TK Show, recording from the home studio. And for the second consecutive week, I'm recording on my own. Heavens knows what's going to happen next, but I got through the last one with Greg Papa. Nick Wagner should be a lot easier to deal with that devil man, Papa. But so glad to have him as my guest, my friend. ESPN's lead coverage for the 49ers. That's Nick Wagner already said. Nick, how you doing today?
I'm good. I think, Tim, the last time I was on was your maiden voyage doing it by yourself. So I'm proud of you. You've done it multiple times now.
I've done it like three, four times. And I'm not going to say anything. No jinxing here. But it was good to do it. Have Nick Wagner on. It's the first one. And we go full circle. We get Nick Wagner on this time. Who knows? I'm going to be producing myself many, many times, I think, into the future. Just a little easier with the timing schedule. And glad to have you on, Nick. Well, let's just run through it. We all watched the Cowboys pretty easily beat Tampa Bay last night. They are now the opponent for the 49ers on Sunday in the divisional round. Just what's your first reaction seeing that game and how the Cowboys match up with the 49ers?
Yeah, my first thought watching the game was like, I'm not surprised at all. And I thought it was kind of weird going into that game how a lot of people are talking themselves into Tampa only because of Tom Brady. And I get that to some extent, but like, this was not a good team. They won the worst division in football barely. And it wasn't at all a surprise that they got, boat raced the way they did. I will say that Dallas, and I've started diving into Dallas a little bit today, watching some of their recent games. They did not play well over the last month or so of the season, but the team we saw last night was certainly more, what we had seen for most of the season. Because I think you would agree with me, Tim. I think we've even talked about this, that really for most of the year in the NFC, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Dallas were kind of the three teams that seemed like they were cut above everybody else. Agreed. In the NFC. And Dallas looked more like that team last night. And my initial reaction just watching the Cowboys is this is going to be the biggest test we've seen for Brock Purdy in his young career. And defensively, the Cowboys are really good. Pass rush-wise, they're really good. The interesting thing is Brock Purdy, if you look at some of the numbers, and I can recite some of them to you if you want me to, but has been outstanding against pressure, really, really good.
He's seen a ton of it too, right? As a rookie quarterback, that's what defensive coordinators are going to throw at him.
Absolutely, especially early on. The Seahawks are the one team that hasn't really blitzed him much in the couple of meetings he had, but everybody else has, and he's been really good. The Cowboys, though, a little bit different animal when you talk about guys like Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, some of the pieces that they have. So I don't think it'll be a cakewalk, but also a very tough matchup going kind of both ways, because the Cowboys don't have a lot of – not that anybody really has everybody that they need to cover, the different guys the 49ers can throw out there, but I expect it to be certainly tighter than what we saw on Saturday against Seattle.
Yeah, I was looking at, 49ers defensively because we've seen some vulnerability, right, over the top. Safeties, missed some balls, cornerbacks, maybe D'Amador Lenore, a little vulnerable there. Dak a couple weeks ago, that was not a threat, but we knew the talent's there. He's shown it in the past. He wasn't terrible against 49ers in the playoffs last season, if I remember correctly. He wasn't great at getting that last snap off. That's probably not his fault. The guy can throw the ball. He's got some weapons, maybe not the big hitters that have hurt the 49ers, but CeeDee Lamb is a really good player. I said, I think I could see some spots where the Cowboys could hit the 49ers if the 49ers are worried about the Cowboys running game. And I think that's a clear advantage the Cowboys would have over the 49ers than Tampa. The 49ers don't have to worry about a Tampa Bay running game. We saw against the Raiders when they were worried about the running game, they got popped over the top. Do you see Dak Prescott different kind of thing, but a threat in the way that some of these more balanced offenses maybe have been against 49ers?
No, I think you just hit on the biggest thing, Tim, and we talk about all the time with playoffs, like the first thing you have to do is stop the run and run the ball. Those are the things that travel in January. But those cliches exist for a reason, and I think that in the 49ers case, you mentioned the Vegas game. That was a good example. But even last week in the first half of that game, you know, Kenneth Walker, I think, had 54 rushing yards in the first half. It was the most rushing yards the Niners had allowed to one player in a half all season. And it wasn't like Walker was gashing them for 15 or 20 at a time. It was, you know, 5-6 yards, but some of that leaky yardage where he's falling forward for 2 or 3 extra yards. And I think what you're seeing is teams that have a modicum of success running the ball against the Niners, they're able to get them a little bit more off balance, and it does create some of those opportunities because it just makes that pass rush slow down just a hair. And those guys don't want to do that. They want to be coming at you. But if they have to stop and think about it for even a second, it buys some time. And some of those maybe, you know, weaker spots on the back end that the 49ers have, teams can take advantage of. You saw that against Vegas. You saw that against Kansas City. You saw it even a little bit in the first half last week. And so, yeah, that's going to be the big thing for the 49ers is can that run defense get kind of cranked back up to where it had been, where for most of this season – they weren't giving up much, but they were giving up nothing, really. I mean, you're talking teams averaging 3 yards a carry and basically just giving up on the run altogether. So that's going to be kind of the number one task again for the 49ers in this game, if they can slow that down and then they don't get caught off balance.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Dre Greenlaw's had a great season, borderline Pro Bowl season. Hufanga is a Pro Bowler, all pro, which kind of surprised me, but he obviously makes plays. But, man, I mean, the Raider game, maybe I'm making too much of it, but I saw 57 and 29 running for every single play fake because they wanted to destroy the run. And when you start sprinting towards a run, little play fake, little misdirection. Kansas City obviously is the experts at this, and we saw what happened in that second half. Cowboys set up for that, though? Or are they the play fake kind of like misdirection? I don't know that they do a ton of that.
They don't do a ton of like motion, pre-snap stuff, that kind of thing. They're just different. And you know, CeeDee Lamb has had a really good year. I think was he a second team all pro, or he was real close if he wasn't. He's had a really good year, and they can line him up all over the place. But the other kind of common trait of teams that have given the 49ers problems this year is multiple really good skill position guys. Yep. You know, the Raiders, Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, you can throw Hunter Renfrow in there if you want as well. Kansas City, we know that's a lot, largely Mahomes, but they have skill position guys. I don't know that the Cowboys have those guys to be as diverse where you know, you can get favorable one-on-one matchups with just about any of those guys. So I'm not sure that that's something that they, you know, can go into this game counting on as a huge advantage. But yeah, they're going to be a little bit more power. They're not going to run as much, wide zone. They're not going to throw as much misdirection at you as other teams, certainly not like the Niners do. But really, even a lot of teams, that's not really their bread and butter.
Tell you what, I saw that Dak Prescott naked boot in the end zone, and I thought, maybe not this year's 49ers team, but we've seen the 49ers be vulnerable to that action, right? Because you get them flowing all one way in a short yardage situation, the quarterback goes zoop, right around the corner. I didn't know that Prescott really had that back in his game, right? Because he's kind of been limping around for like a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years. I think you can hurt him that way. Where else do you think, offense or defense, where the 49ers have to be kind of like cognizant of what the Cowboys do specifically, you know, are really good at?
Yeah, I think one of the big things that comes up, and I just think back to last year's game that maybe flew under the radar a little bit, is penalties. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't talk about that a lot, but if you remember in that game last year, the 49ers jumped out to a pretty big lead. They seemed like they were going to cruise to a win. It got a little bit closer, and then every time the Cowboys had a drive going, it seemed like they either got a holding or a false start call. And a couple of the guys who were, you know, proponents of that, are the big reasons those were happening, Connor Williams and Lyle Collins, two offensive linemen, they're not there anymore. And early this season, that was the Cowboys were still having those issues. It seems like it has calmed down as the season has gone on. So that's just kind of like a little thing that maybe doesn't show up as much or get talked about as much, but I would keep an eye out for. I think they had 14 penalties in that game last year, Tim, and the Niners had 9 of their own. So which team could be a little bit cleaner on that front? On the turnover front, it's crazy to talk about because you think Brock Purdy being the rookie quarterback drafted last, you know, that would be a big concern. He's been very good in that regard. Dak Prescott has not been very good in that regard. And, you know, the 49ers over the last two seasons have forced more fumbles than any team in the league. And that, you know, they've obviously this year they're tied for first in the league in interceptions. So there's going to be some opportunities there. Can they squeeze them? You know, like sometimes, as we've seen in the NFC Championship game last year, for example, you get one thrown to you, you got to squeeze them. And it sounds simple, but those are kind of like the underlying issues here that maybe aren't quite as matchup specific, but things that have dictated these games. And we sit here and we go through all these things of let's break this down on this level and this level. And you and I both know that at the end of the day, turnovers is the number one indicator. And for this Niners team, it's the ultimate indicator, maybe more so than anyone ever. Any game the Niners have had two or more turnovers this year, they've lost. Any game they've had less, they've won. Seems like it's kind of simple.
There you go. Just don't turn it over, Kyle. What are you doing? Those turnover plays, when you call the turnover play, just cross it out and say no turnover on
that's
this
right.
play.
That's
but
right.
That's, I mean, that's a huge credit. Well, it's a credit to Garoppolo, who was playing well. And it's a huge credit, Brock, obviously, seventh round pick. We can talk about him endlessly, and we should. He doesn't turn the ball over. He makes plays downfield. He runs around like crazy. Now, maybe one of those might not be, you know, one of those, he might be gotten on one of those, but he hasn't so far. And he makes plays downfield. He utilizes his, you know, incredible weaponry. It's been amazing. I mean, has he showed it to you? Like, if he has a crappy game, are you like still like, this is the guy? Or do you still need to see some things from him?
I'm getting closer. You know, I kind of keep saying that I feel like there is an obvious path for him to be QB1 for the long term. And he's gone far down that path. I don't know that he's necessarily arrived there yet, but I read your column. I agree with most of it. I think that he's right there. The thing, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite about this. I think last time I was on here, you and I talked about Brock Purdy, and I am shocked at what he has done, especially this early in his career. But there are a couple things to me that have jumped out that I just didn't know he had. And, you know, you could watch the Iowa State games, and I did watch a few of them. You know, this is after they drafted him, and you can see him running around and making some plays and stuff like that. But that stuff doesn't always translate to the NFL when you got NFL players chasing you. But I call it, I use this term, creative mobility, which is what he has. He's not necessarily going to look to run for 30 yards if he gets away from somebody coming after him, but his fearlessness, ability to spin away from guys, even doing things like, you know, little hesitation and high step, you know, those are things that it takes a lot of confidence to do that stuff in the NFL. And like you said, maybe someday he pays for it, but so far it seems like he's got a really good handle on when to do those things. And so those are the things where, to me, you now have a quarterback who is doing the number one thing that Kyle Shanahan wants most, which is making the plays within the structure of the offense, getting the ball to his playmakers. That's the number one thing, and taking care of the ball. That all goes into that. But he's showing you an ability to make plays outside of the structure. And we haven't seen a quarterback in the Kyle Shanahan era who has been able to do both of those things. It's why they drafted Trey Lance. They wanted him to be that guy. But Brock Purdy is the guy who is doing it, and you're seeing kind of the full power of what this offense can be when you have a quarterback who's doing that. And of course, again, like you said, incredible weaponry surrounded by arguably the best tight end, receiver, and running back in the league when it comes to yards after the catch. That doesn't hurt anything either.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we talked about this on, you brought it up in the Packers. I think it was like week three early in the season. We're both going, Brock, what is this Brock Purdy thing? And I was there too. We were at the training camp, and you know, can rip us if you want. I didn't see, other people did mention it. I thought it was like, well, you're kind of imagining things. It kind of was a reaction to the stuff that Trey wasn't doing. That's how I saw it. And I'm not saying the coaching staff was there. Maybe some other people were just like, I don't see it in Lance. So this Brock Purdy guy, he's the one doing it. But the players saw it. Like, they're saying it. Like, they saw it in training camp. At least they saw something there. Maybe they didn't see all this. And you got to go with that. I mean, if they're, you know, Trent Williams is kind of calling him the elephant in the room in training camp. like, whoa, like there's some interesting conversation going on there. I think they're all surprised by the athleticism. You don't know. But what I see, it's a spatial awareness, too. It's like he gets to a point. He's not like confused about where everybody is. He's like, that guy should be over there, and I'm going to look over there, and my body can get past this guy right here. I can take two steps.
hate the comparisons to the great. Who knows how great he's going to be?
Sure.
But this is what I love about some great quarterbacks. They just know where they are. You know, they don't have to be the fastest guy, but they have a feel for what that pocket is. When you know, there's been some times maybe he could have moved a different way, but he knows where he is. He knows what he can do with the ball at that time, and he knows what he should do with it. And man, if you can do that at 23 years old in the NFL at this high level, I'm giving him, as you know, I gave him QB1. I just don't know how they can do better than him, given the contractual situation. Do you see, if it's not him, who are the options for them at QB? Obviously, Trey Lance, but we don't know about his health. So would you say, hey, Tom Brady? I mean, I can never say no to Tom Brady. Like, you have to look at it. But would you say that, or would you say look at some other veterans?
If you'd asked me earlier in the year, I would have said I think Brady is really in play. I think as the weeks go by, between the combination of what Brock Purdy's done and maybe what Tom Brady hasn't been able to do, that has gotten further away. I'm with you. I never say never on anything.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly. In this crazy league, anything can happen. But I think you're at a point now with Brock Purdy where he's earning the job first and foremost. That's the most important thing. The other thing is if you're looking at this long term, and hear me out on this, I think you could make a case if Brock Purdy continues on this path and continues to play well and becomes the number one quarterback, and he's a good NFL starting quarterback, that he will be the most valuable asset in the NFL. And what I mean by that is all things considered. I'm not saying he's better than Mahomes or anything. I'm just talking about for the price that you would have and what that would lead to for your ability to build out your team around him. I'm not sure you would ever have a better asset than the last drafted quarterback, other than maybe an undrafted quarterback who could play at that level. And what that does, Tim, is it keeps your window open longer, because I look at the Rams as an example. The Rams paid all of their guys, all their superstars got paid. And what that did was it shortened the window, but they knew they had to get through that window with those guys carrying the freight for them. Their five or six highest paid guys had to be their best players. That was their only chance to do it. They won a Super Bowl, to their credit. And then this year, what happened? Cooper Kupp got hurt. Matthew Stafford got hurt. Aaron Donald got hurt. If those guys aren't your guys, you have no chance. But if you have a quarterback who is good and is making next to no money, now all of a sudden, it's not a big deal if you want to invest huge money in off-ball linebacker like Fred Warner, tight end like George Kittle, running back like Christian
McCaffrey. Edge rusher.
Yeah, and those are premium. I'm saying non-premium positions you can even invest in, where maybe normally you wouldn't be able to have that leeway. So it does give you a little bit of leeway where you're going to pay Nick Bosa, and probably a year after that you're going to pay Brandon Ayuk, and you're going to be able to do some of those things that you wouldn't be. So I'm sure that's all part of the calculus that the 49ers have in their mind right now. But it's an unbelievable way to extend their window if he turns out to be the guy that we think he's trending toward becoming.
You're saying $800,000 for a starting quarterback who's winning playoff games is not that much? I don't know. There's NIL guys making way more money than that.
That's a fact.
I mean, it is unbelievable, and they can't redo it. Like, this is the done deal until end of the – not even after next season, after the season after that. It's just an amazing situation. If he's good, I have every belief that he can be good. Maybe, you know, we'll see about great. We'll see if he stays healthy, you know.
Yep.
And listen, if Jimmy Garoppolo stays healthy, would you be the belief that they would be kind of hoping? If Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy and they're through the first round, I think they're thinking, let's try to see if Jimmy Garoppolo could be the starter next year. I think that was sort of in their minds.
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing where, like, everyone wanted to have the conversation about Garoppolo in November. And it was like, well, let's see if he can stay healthy.
You were pointing that out to me. You, Nick Wagner, were smarter about that than I was. But that's okay. It gave me an extra few columns. So I'll always take that.
That wasn't a shot. But I understood why the conversation was happening.
Yes.
It's the same thing with Brock Purdy now, where it's like everything looks great now. But let's just see him. Let's see him get through the season. Let's get all the information. And that's the beauty of it. The Niners, they don't have to make the decision right now. They can let it play out and see what happens. If he wins the Super Bowl and continues to play at this level, I don't think it's a conversation. And honestly, if he goes and wins this game this week against arguably the best defense that he's going to see all year, and he plays well, I think we're probably there. You know, I think that's probably like, I don't want to say, you know, denigrate anything he's done previously, but I think this is such a good test for him in such a historic rivalry with so much on the line and a really good defense coming in here. So it's the best story in football, Tim. I lived in the St. Louis area when Kurt Warner was doing it with the Rams. It's the only thing that I've been close to that I can even compare it to. And it's kind of funny because, you know, Kurt Warner replaced a handsome number 10 who got hurt and wore number 13 and played his college football in Iowa. And
wow. Here we are. And wow. Trent Green, situation. Jimmy Garoppolo vibes. That's good. I like it. I like it. Well, what's your sense of Purdy? I mean, did you talk to Purdy at all before this all happened? I'm sure, you know, we've all been around him since. What's your sense of that vibe? What's his kind of character?
Yeah, I did. I talked to him a few times for a couple of different stories. And, you know, it was interesting. The first impression we had from him was, you know, we do these Zoom calls or, you know, conference calls after the guy's drafted. And he gets drafted and he's being asked about Mr. Irrelevant. And to be fair, I don't think he had any idea what Mr. Irrelevant was. I don't think he knew all that went into it. And he seemed like he was a little turned off by it. And he kind of has admitted later on, like, yeah, you know, I didn't really know what was going on. I was so excited about being drafted and people were asking me about being Mr. Irrelevant or whatever. But I think that also speaks to a certain confidence level that he has in himself. And one of my favorite things to do, Tim, is I love talking to Trent Williams anyway, but Trent Williams really, really enjoys Brock Purdy celebrations, like a lot. and like he makes it a point when there's a touchdown to like look back and see what Purdy's doing. And so even the other day, he, you know, Purdy does the chest beating one after the touchdown to Elijah Mitchell. And I asked Trent about it and he said, oh, I didn't see that one. And then so I ended up pulling it up to him. And I was like, where is this one ranked? You know, showing him the video or whatever. I think there's something to it though, because it's not just guys feeding off of energy, but it's authentic. Like there's nothing that's phony about it. This is just a kid who's super competitive and he's going to let his emotions out and the team feeds off of that. So I see where, you know, and this is the stuff we didn't get to see when you and I are trying to kind of evaluate what we see in camp, but just the intangible stuff that we don't get to see all the time. And now we do because he's playing, I think is all a big part of this. And, you know, just hearing like Fred Warner, who never stops talking about Brock Purdy and has said all along, like, I knew it a long time ago. I'm not surprised. And you can ask anyone in that locker room. They all seem unsurprised by this, for as surprised as you and I might be. They seem unsurprised. And so I do think there's a lot of buy-in on him. And that certainly is going to serve him well, too, when we get into that conversation in the offseason about who's the guy next year.
Yeah, just talking. Yeah, we didn't talk forever on this, but just talking to some 49ers people, they say the meeting room was really like it blew people's minds. Now, obviously, we're not in the meeting room. My excuse is a little bit, but, you know, like he was processing stuff in the meeting room, taking it to the field, then coming back to the meeting room and saying exactly what happened, almost as good as Kyle could say. Like, that's interesting. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure Jimmy doesn't do that. All credit to Jimmy, but Jimmy does not do that. And, you know, Trey just wasn't at the spot that he could do. He just hasn't played enough. So you can just see where Kyle's like, wait a minute now. He's processing. The word I keep hearing is processing. Like, if this isn't there, this has got to be there. If that, not that, then this. Boom. And then taking that to the practice field. And you and I going, what is that little dump off? What's that? That's a little weak arm dump off. And Kyle's going, ding, 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 ding. This is exactly what you have to do. Is very interesting to me. And now we're hearing about it. Oh, you know, I wish I'd heard about it at the time, but that's okay. They had two other quarterbacks. Okay, I'll just say, I mean, in your minds, are the 49ers Super Bowl favorites right now? Can you say that?
I think they're probably the favorites in the NFC to get there. I think you would have to look just and largely because we just don't know what Philly's going to look like with Hurts. You know, I know he played the one game, but what is his kind of injury status? What is Lane Johnson's injury status
and like? Eagles could lose.
And I mean that's a division rival game for them. You know that the Giants kind of gave them all they wanted in week 18 with their backups and things like that. So if you know, I think Philly is the biggest obstacle. Cool. I'm not ruling out Dallas making it a tough game, but I just think the 49ers are the most complete team. And I keep looking at things like, you know, one of the former researchers at ESPN, Doug Clawson, give him a shout out, had a stat today that in that Seahawks game, when Juszczyk, Kittle, Ayuk, Samuel, and McCaffrey were on the field together, there was like 17 plays. They averaged 15.8 yards per play when you have that group out there. And just the ability to line those guys up in all kinds of different positions and spots that makes it, it's got to be hell for a defensive coordinator. So as long as the protection is there, I have a hard time seeing how teams are going to stop this offense right now. And that's a big change in tone from early in the season when it was like, can the defense hold them under 10? Because that's how they're going to be their ticket to winning. So the fact that they have both of those things, theoretically, even if the defense is taking a little bit of a, you know, half step back, that can be offset by an offense that keeps putting up 30 plus every week.
Terrible slander of all those snaps with Juwan Jennings and Tyler Kroft, by the way. I can't believe that's what you would be going to.
I didn't look it up. Maybe the numbers are higher.
Hey, why don't you play Juwan Jennings and Tyler Kroft more? But, yeah, you know, I guess we're saying, yeah, favorite to get to Super Bowl just because they don't have to go through the AFC. You know, whoever gets out of the AFC is going to be the toughest team, but they have to play each other.
And definitely.
That is, you know, those quarterbacks – Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, anybody, if the 49ers get to that point, all three of those, any one of those three guys is going to be very tricky for them. And we saw what Mahomes has done to them a couple times now. Let's just say get to the Super Bowl. If the 49ers get to the Super Bowl, in your mind, what would be the main reason? Like, if you could scope it out, here's why the 49ers get to the Super Bowl.
Just that other than not turning the ball over,
yeah, like there you we go.
Talked
yeah,
about
yeah, not turnover, the not yeah, turnover, yeah. The non-turnover yeah, right. place.
Yeah, no, I do think it's bad. I just think that they are equipped to beat teams in more ways than anybody else is. They can beat you in a blowout. They can beat you in a shootout. They can beat you in a slugfest. You know, they can low scoring game, whatever it might be. Just because they have all of those different things, and I look at the way that they're built from a coaching perspective too. I don't know that they're going to be out coached in any game. You know, I think that they have the best offensive coach in the league in Kyle Shanahan, and D'Amico Ryans is right there in that conversation defensively as well. And so all of those things, and if it works out that they get to play three games at Levi's before going to the Super Bowl, I think that plays into their advantage too. And even this week, you know, I think Dallas is going to be a tough test, but those two extra days of rest, and Dallas having to travel, it's their fourth road game in a row. Like that, those are all like
on grass.
Yeah, and I would argue last year when the Niners lost to the Rams, that was their fourth home game or fourth road game in a row. And I thought the second half they ran out of gas. Like it just seemed that way. It's just a tough thing to do, and so I think that's an advantage for the 49ers. And if it's not Philly, you know, that's going to be the tough one if you have to go across the country to Philly. But I don't think the Niners have reason to be scared of any of these teams left. I think they go into every game with the most talent overall. The thing that could hold them back is if Brock Purdy, you know, for some reason, this all, you know, goes up in smoke. But again, he's passed every test. We have no reason to believe right now that that's going to happen other than just saying, well, he's a low drafted rookie. And that's a good argument based on history. But, you know, sometimes these things turn out to be for real. You get your Kurt Warners and your Tom Brady's and, you know, those guys. I'm not comparing him to them. I'm just saying that it's not impossible for a low drafted or low thought of quarterback to turn into a real guy who can sustain it for a long period of time.
I wanted to ask about the locker rooms being open this season. We've all enjoyed this. Is there a player or two? I know you chat with a lot of guys. You mentioned Trent. Is there a player or two, like, just chatting that you enjoy and you think, you know, fans would like to know? It's just somebody interesting to talk to.
It's funny you asked me that because I was having this conversation with our friend Tracy Sandler last week, that one of my favorite guys to talk to, who kind of on the sneak that people wouldn't think, is Daniel Brunskill.
Yep.
He's so insightful and he shares anecdotes and he sees the game from, you know, maybe it's because he plays every position on the offensive line. He sees it from so many different angles, but and he's been around now, you know, he's been around for a few years and he, you know, he's kind of one of those guys that has had that long journey to get to where he is. And so, yeah, I think that would be kind of my initial, you know, answer of like, who's maybe an off the beaten path guy who's fun to talk to. Azeez Alshire is another one who I think would fall into that category. But man, it is a strong locker room.
It's a good locker
room. I've covered not a lot of good teams over the years, and those bad teams, you know, I always gave them credit for like having good locker rooms, because it's easy to not be in there when you're bad. But even good teams, I think, you know, can be like, we're great, we don't need to do this. But they do not have that at all. And I think it starts with the head coach, you know, who's as transparent as you're going to get relative to other head coaches in the NFL.
Kyle can answer questions. He is not afraid of questions. He has been that way from the beginning when they start with 0-8.
And he's been that throughout this. It's one of the reasons I've like believed in him. Like, this guy just does. Yep. He's not afraid. He's not worried about what, you know, somebody might, he might say one little thing different, and people do jump on him. We know they jump on him, but win games, man. And he's over 500 career wise, Nick Wagner.
Well over.
You don't have to keep tweeting that out anymore. I'm sure you're
well ready. Over. Well over.
All right, let me end this with a version of a question I asked everybody. I've asked you a version of this, but we're going to tweak it a little bit since you and I have spent some time on the links recently, and will again, I'm quite sure. Nick Wagner, what's your favorite golf course?
My favorite golf course. This is tough. You gave me leeway on like runway on this to think about this, and I still don't know what my exact answer is. But I was in Maui, I was in Kauai in March, and I played Princeville Mackay course there. That was probably my favorite. It felt like I was playing golf in Jurassic Park, which I know they actually filmed in that portion of the island in Kauai. So, but just absolutely beautiful. I remember I was on like, I forget which hole it was, but it was like a par three that has like a big elevation drop down to where the green is, and you could see the ocean. I remember as I was hitting my tee shot, I could see like humpback whales like swimming in the background. I'm like, this is just like, you can't beat this. But there are so many great courses out here, and I'm a relatively new golfer, as you know, but we had the good fortune of getting to play Pasatiempo recently, and I loved it. I loved it as it was, but I can't wait to go back when the weather's a little bit better and we don't get rained on the last three holes.
A little bit wet. The ball was not carrying a great deal, but it was a blast. We're going to do it again. Positi is, as I told, I think I did tell you, you're going to love this course.
You're right.
Yeah, you're going to love this course. It's one of the great value. Well, maybe not values, but it's one of the great shot value. Just being able to look over your ball and know what you got to do with it. And there's trouble over there, but you can't hit over there. You got to elevate. There's just a lot of thinking. And it was really fun to do, except for the fact that the ball got in the rough. And then it was a little bit tricky hitting out of that.
Even the weather, I didn't mind too much, because anytime you can give me an excuse to not be good, I'm okay with it. Because like, I know I'm not good, but it's good to have excuses. It makes it easier. Right,
we had them that elevate out of the rough, where you got the trap on the right, you got the junk over there on the left, you got to carry those are tough shots. But
number 11, that's got to be one of the most insane holes.
I did not have a fun time on 11. I love that hole. I did not have a fun time on it, but ain't that always the kind of case. All right, Nick, I've taken more than enough time. I appreciate it. I will be seeing you tomorrow. I'll be seeing you many other days, but thanks so much for doing this.
Always, Tim, you got it.
And everybody, that's the show for today.